We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dusty and Friends.
This is ham soaked in rum. It is loaded with booze.
With Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
Eating your drinks? That is genius.
This is Dusty and Friends.
We are no longer in relaxing mode. We are now in survival mode.
Will you stop being so dramatic?
On 1080 The Fan.
Run, ham!
What you know about rolling down in the deep?
Jeff Rust with you here on a best of edition of Dusty and Friends on this Thursday. We're a little behind, so we'll get right to this next segment. Joe Fisher, DJOE. Letting us know which songs should be retired at weddings.
It was years ago. It was a year or two after me being here. Shortly after being here, a part-time producer, I realized not going to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So I had to get some extra work going and found a listing on Craigslist asking for a wedding DJ. And just kind of interested me a bit. I love music and love playing music, jamming out, and so went and met the guy, and he had his own company, so he had a lot of clients, people that reached out to him and booked, and he had a team, so he'd be like, all right, Joe, you're going out here this weekend, you're going here, so that's how I got my business that way. So I was working for a company then, you know, and the worst part about it is his dress code was all black everything, black pants, black shirt, black tie, black blazer, and so you know, mid-July, mid-August in Oregon, Southwest Washington.
Pretty warm.
Doing a wedding. Yeah, those 100-degree days setting up all this, equipment. Yeah, not fun.
That's brutal, dude.
No. So being my own DJ where I can choose weddings that I can go do myself, I can also choose what I want to wear. So if it's outside and it's super hot, throw on some shorts, some nice boat shoes or something like that, dock shoes.
Good. Yeah, you're the DJ, man. Nobody cares what you're wearing. Just don't
show up in t-shirt and jean shorts and unless it's New Balances.
Tuxedo t-shirt, maybe.
Right. Because it's formal, but I'm here to party.
Mm. I like your name, too. You when you said DJOE, I was like, what is that? But it's DJOE.
Yeah.
Joe.
And the D is silent.
It's a silent D.
Yes.
All right.
Like Django.
What is your experience with the yes and no's on a playlist? Because every bride and groom will have their no's that do not play this song.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a form for them to fill out leading up to the wedding. Like, what do you want your first dance? Your mom and son dance? What do you want for that? Garter toss, all that crap. But the most important section of this whole thing is the do not playlist.
Yes.
Because that can kill your whole reputation that evening, is if you play that one song that they just were begging not to hear.
Or it's like their song that was their song with their ex, you know?
And exactly. You're like, you don't know the story, the origin on why they don't want this song, so don't even risk it.
Just don't like it, don't want it.
Exactly, yeah. So
is there a common thread between, like, is there a song that keeps popping up more so than others on your do not playlist?
Well, this is, again, Patrick Harris's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a wedding next Saturday, back to back weddings. And I'm still in shock over this on the do not playlist. Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Wow.
And that is my go to finish the evening off song. Like, this is going to be our last song of the night. Let's sing it loud as possible for our bride and groom. Sing it with all your hearts. And I know you all know this song. So let's sing it together. You hit play. Everybody hears those first piano chords. They lose their minds. Everybody gets in the middle, starts hugging.
Yeah.
They're drunk. It's a great way to
end the evening. Everybody's drunk, it's the best. It's because everybody does know the words to that.
Yes. So it's a great way to end the evening. And Patrick Harris, I mean, he was, love the guy to death, but as musically inclined as he is, he had his hands all over this wedding when it came to music.
He wanted nothing to do with his out.
Yeah. I told him, I was like, if I didn't know you, I would have hated working with you.
All right. So that has showed up on two consecutive weddings.
Yeah,
though.
Don't Stop Believing.
Wow.
Kills me.
Let's get some other songs on that should be retired from wedding playlists. Is there anything in your mind?
Should be retired, and it's on my personal band list, as if I will not play this song, Chicken Dance.
Chicken Dance, yes. Cringe. I am so with you on the Chicken Dance.
It's a cringy song.
Are you guys just against fun?
That's what like the Cha-Cha Slide is for.
Man,
the Cupid Shuffle. You
got
the
electric slide. You got the Cupid Shuffle, which, I mean, that is like.
Yes, exactly.
We're done.
Exactly.
That might be a new show drop.
I will say, though, there are kind of tiers to these dances. I think I saw it on like a Instagram video or something where at weddings, it starts with the chicken dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you amp it up and you do a cha-cha slide.
Yeah.
And then, or maybe an electric slide. Cha-cha, and then after that, you go to Cupid Shuffle. And then you're about 3-4 drinks in there. And then you get to the wobble. I don't know if you've heard that one.
Yeah, I know Wobble.
The ladies just turn into freaks with that song.
With Wobble, huh?
You see twerking everywhere. It's
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So that must be on the must playlist. Like, eventually you get to the must playlist.
If I can get to Wobble, I'll throw it off.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going down lines, and I said this earlier, and I'm going to double down on it. The Cupid Shuffle is basically a bunch of white people pretending to have rhythm, and it's line dancing. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's...
Basically. I get down to some Cupid Shuffle.
And again,
I know what it is.
Again, that's where you separate the women from the girls, is when you go from Cupid Shuffle to Wobble. And you see the selection at the wedding during Wobble. That's for sure.
503-250-1080. All TLC retired. Hate them. That's just a personal vendetta.
Yes, most definitely.
I don't...
Crazy, Sexy, Cool? Are you kidding me?
Waterfalls?
Yeah. Come on now.
not going to do that. Macarena has come in on the fan text line as a song that needs to be
that's
retired.
One I don't do. I mean, some of these hokey dances from like the 90s, again, it's just, no, dude. I'm better than that.
You are better than that. What is on your must playlist?
Must playlist.
I mean, Wobble sounds like it's on there because, I mean, when you get the twerking going,
that's a good one to play. And if it gets requested, I'll throw it on. Man, you know, you can't ever go wrong with Usher. Yeah.
Yo, my goodness.
Another one. When you hear that Peace Up, A-Town Down.
Peace Up, A-Town
and the beat
down.
Starts, it gets pretty popping at that point. You can't go wrong with Return of the Mac. Mac Morrison.
Oh, that'll always get everybody out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Sweet Caroline as one that everybody likes to sing?
That's what I think before I play Journey, I do Sweet Caroline. But Patrick Harris, he did not want Sweet Caroline either.
No, I karaoke'd that at our wedding.
Yeah, he wanted no Sweet
you
Caroline.
You did. Wait, you had karaoke at your wedding?
Yes, we did.
And sometimes that'll happen.
That's a big pivot.
Someone will walk up to my table. Give me the mic.
What?
Play the song. Give me the microphone.
I mean, it wasn't all karaoke.
And then they start just going to the song. I'm
let's
like,
go.
Let them go.
What was that, Rust?
But it wasn't all karaoke. You know, a few songs peppered in here and there, but yeah, we had some karaoke.
So was that the only song you karaoke'd? What's your go-to karaoke?
I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
I finished it off with old Blue Eyes, My Way.
Sinatra.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Do you have a good singing voice? Are you the songbird of our generation? We just don't know it.
I might surprise you.
Wow.
I'm going to let you know right now, you would surprise me. If you can sing well, you would surprise me.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I want to go karaokeing with you.
We'll have to do that one of these days.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Little pub crawl. So what else do you have? So is Sweet Caroline then on your playlist?
It is. Yeah. If they don't, if someone says they don't want to hear it, then again, I'll follow the rules, but that's a go-to.
They're lying. Yeah. They're lying if they don't want to hear it though.
And then with my Oregon connection, I always got to slide in Shout.
Ooh,
Shout by the Isley Brothers
is a great one, especially if you get a, if you have a group of people who understand a little bit softer now, and then they jump. They start jumping when you get a little bit louder. Anybody who's closed down Taylor's before, they know what needs to happen when you hear the song Shout.
Yeah, yeah, it's a staple for me. Sister Sledge, We Are Family. You get all the ladies out on the floor for that. Hey, ladies, this one's just for you. They go crazy for that. I got all my sisters with me.
Okay,
they love it.
All right,
then after that.
Aggressive one, but gets ladies on dance floor.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah. Hanging out with all their girlfriends and stuff. And then right after that, you do the girlfriends. You do All Friends by playing Garth Brooks' Friends in Little Places.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't that a guy crashing a wedding, though?
Well, I don't know what the song's about. It's just great to play at weddings.
That's one of those late songs in the evening once everybody's good and sauced.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined their black tie affair.
Yeah, that's...
The last one to know, the last one to show. I was the last one you thought you'd see there. That is an ex crashing a wedding.
Perfect. Well, that's like a, that's like Hey Yeah by Outkast. If you read the lyrics to Hey Yeah by Outkast, it's about a couple that is basically filing for divorce. And that song is a staple at weddings, too. It's ridiculous. It's like, just put on a good, as long as it's got a good beat, right?
Hey, but. The real part of Friends in Low Places is everybody's so sauced by that point that they just want to yell, friends in low places. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's great. I love doing weddings. It's when we get to that part of the evening, it's my favorite time. The nice part is that the ceremony is the most stressful part, but it's the first part that's done. So, like, you get that wrapped up, and then you can kind of relax the rest of the night. And then, again, the last two and a half hours of dancing and music, that's, I just love it.
So, have you ever screwed anything up while you're doing a wedding? Like, this song? Like, have you played Crazy Love by Aaron Neville instead of Van Morrison, like my DJ did?
There have been some screw-ups playing the wrong song at the wrong time. And this is, again, Patrick Harris, man. This guy. He wanted... He loves his music.
I love that you're blasting him on a Friday and he won't be back on the air till the next Wednesday.
Again. But I love this guy to death, all right? Like, I've known Patrick since I've been here at the Fan. He's known my dad longer than he's known me.
You two are going to go at it, too, on Wednesday on Hot Corner.
But he wanted, at the end of the night, I was batting 1,000, played every song he wanted, right? Okay. It was great. Everything was going good. Shamalama Ding Dong. You familiar with that song?
Yes.
Yes. There was a certain version of Shamalama Ding Dong that he wanted me to play at a certain portion of the night.
Yeah.
And when I went to play it, I needed like Google Drive access to get the certain file that he wanted me to play. So I was like,
because he sent you a very specific
version of what he. And so I said, screw it. I'll look it up on YouTube. I'll find it. Played it. Song, you know, the wedding crowd doesn't really, you know, notice whatever. They dance around to it. Patrick comes up. Dude. It's not the version I wanted you to play. And he was just sounded so defeated.
So
and I felt like I just ruined the entire evening. But that's just Patrick Harris. Like he had his ceremony playlist, like leading up to the ceremony was an hour long. Exactly. He's like, if you start this at 5, it will end at 6 o'clock. Exactly.
Holy crap. you sound just like Keanu Reeves. Your Patrick Harris sounds just like Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Back off, War Child, seriously.
No, that's not it.
I know that's not him, but...
I know Kung Fu.
Here we go.
I am an FBI agent!
Am an FBI agent.
You didn't get the cadence, but the voice is right.
Anyways, he had an hour-long playlist of jam band music.
Yeah.
Like
and Fish and Dead. And
yeah, he had it all. And he's like, if you start this at 5... It will end at 6 o'clock right then and there, and then the ceremony will begin. And I'm just like, okay, bud.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, you've obviously never been married before because...
No wedding ever starts on time and never goes to schedule, ever. Ever. And sure enough, 6 o'clock came back around, and I'm like, you want me to start the playlist over?
Just start this again, or...
Yeah.
for those that didn't.
And then he told me which exact songs he wanted me to play over. He's like,
hey,
play
what
this
days are
one,
stressful.
This. Yeah. Oh, he
They're
was.
Stressful,
he, I could see it in old Patrick Harris's face.
Yeah, I've been there, man. It's stressful because he's feeling the stress of his bride. It turns into a whole thing. Yeah.
But it was a great night. Mike Lynch, that. You can ask Mike. He was very impressed by one DJ OE.
Was he in pants or shorts?
Mike did not show up in a Blazers quarter zip and cargo shorts. No, he was formally dressed.
Okay.
There he is, DJ OE Joe Fisher. Coming up next after the break, formerly of Bleacher Report, now founder of the Rose Garden Report newsletter and podcast, Sean Hyken from Tuesday, getting ready for this evening's draft. This is Jeff Rust on a Dusty and Friends Best of Edition on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month. Eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Jeff Rust with you here on a best of edition of Dusty and Friends. Coming up next, formerly of Bleacher Report, now the founder of the Rose Garden Report newsletter and podcast, Sean Hyken from Tuesday, getting us ready for this evening's NBA draft.
I mean, it's pretty hard to project all of that until we see what they actually do. Thursday night, because anything that they do, whether it's trade the pick, keep the pick, it's going to happen while they're on the clock at number seven. It's not going to happen before then, because if any team is going to trade up for that pick, they're going to want to make sure that whoever they want to draft is still on the board before they pull the trigger on the trade. So it's hard to really project what the next 2 weeks, for example, are going to look like until we know what they do, because, you know, maybe they do a trade for John Collins on Thursday night, and then they trade for Jeremy Grant also on Thursday night. That's probably most of your offseason. And then once you get to June 30th and free agency starting, you're probably more looking at like mid-level guys, minimum guys, you know, filling out the rest of the roster that way. So I, you know, it could go that way, or, you know, if they decide to just keep the pick and draft somebody, then you're looking at going into the offseason with a lot of this, you know, these trade exceptions and other things that you can use to get guys. And then the pressure will be on Joe Cronin. I think what you said earlier is spot on, that he's gotten a lot of the benefit of the doubt since he took over as interim GM and then permanent GM in December, because a lot of what he had to do at the trade deadline was just undo a lot of the corners that Neil Olshey backed them into over the last several years. But now he's kind of on the clock in terms of he has to thread this needle of, he doesn't want to completely leverage their future, but he also, they have Dame. Dame doesn't want to leave. Dame is probably going to get this extension this summer. He's bought in. He's going to have a lot of input. But now you have to thread the needle of putting enough around Dame for them to maybe not be title contenders, but at least be back in the mix, back at like 4, 5, 6 seed in the playoffs, and at least, you know, be competitive, because that's what Dame is going to want. So they have to thread the needle of being able to actually do that without just completely mortgaging their future. So it's kind of a tough spot that he's in, and they've already, you know, had some breaks not go their way in the last few months, with, you know, first them moving down a spot in the lottery when their pick was slotted at 6 and ended up at 7. And then that New Orleans pick that they got in the CJ trade ended up not conveying because New Orleans got through the play-in and made the playoffs. So they're in kind of a tough spot and at a disadvantage anyway. There's still some stuff they can do, but it's going to be pretty tough for them to thread the needle. It's not impossible, but it just is a lot harder than maybe people thought it was going to be.
Now, you may not know kind of how all of these are going to be used and how they can be used, but they can't really be broken up from my understanding. But they acquired $30 million in trade exceptions, with $20 million coming in the CJ trade exception. The Robert Covington one came with $6.5 million, and then what, $3.2 in the Alexander Walker trade with Utah. They have a lot of these exceptions, but it's a lot harder to move them than what it seems like with free money. Is that a correct understanding that I have of it? Because everything that I see is like, man, it's a lot easier said than done to get a team to bite on taking $20 million coming in and nothing. That's it. Like, you have $20 million of salary going out and then this imaginary money coming in.
Well, it has to be a situation where a team is just purely looking to cut money and their owner doesn't want to pay the luxury tax, or they just want to get rid of somebody's contract to open up playing time for a young player, or whatever the case may be. It's not just, hey, you know, you can call up any team and say, hey, you have this player that's making this much money that fits into our exception. Can you just give him to us for free? Most teams are going to say no to that, which is why, you know, you look at what they are going to have to do in order to use those exceptions. You know, they probably will have to attach, whether it's their own second round pick, which they have one that's number 36, and then they have one that's in the 50s somewhere. Like, they have a couple of second round picks to play with. They have that Bucks pick from 2025, which is what they got for not getting the New Orleans pick. They have some stuff they have to, could throw in to maybe say, hey, if you give us this guy that fits into the salary slot, we can give you a second round pick to make it worth your while. They also have, somebody like, if a team really values Keon Johnson or one of those other kind of secondary young guys that they got in those trades, you know, you throw someone like that into one of these deals. There are ways to do it. It's going to be difficult, though. And the other thing I think a lot of fans need to understand is that if they use these exceptions, that they can only use these exceptions if they're over the cap. And so they don't have, you see this number thrown around that's been thrown around since the deadline. Oh, they have $50 or $60 million in cap space. No, they don't. They could get to that if they really, really wanted to, if they wanted to just renounce everything, let Anthony Simons walk, let Nurkic walk, waive Josh Hart. They could get to that, but they're not going to be operating as a cap space team this offseason. So basically what they're probably going to end up having to do is use these exceptions, use that Eric Bledsoe contract, which they also have, which they use to take to get someone back kind of in that same salary range. And then they have the mid-level exception that they can use to sign somebody. So that's kind of more what they're going to be looking at this offseason.
Now, how much do you think is kind of the dust has settled? They shut down Anthony Simons in the back part of the year because he was playing too well for the tank. What do you think that his number is going to look like heading into restricted free agency?
I would guess, this is just a guess, I don't have intel on this, but I would guess probably 18, 19, 20 a year maybe, which if he is as good going forward as he was this season when he, when they shut Dame down, traded CJ, traded Norm, and he got this bigger role. If he's that good going forward, and there's no reason to believe he won't keep getting better considering how young he is, then he's going to easily outplay that contract. But from what I understand, both his people and the Blazers are pretty motivated to just get something done pretty quickly. I don't think he's going to be really, unless they just completely lowball him on their first offer, I don't think he's going to be going out, testing the market, getting an offer sheet from another team that Portland's going to have to match. I think they're going to get something done pretty quickly.
And what do you think with Nurk? It kind of seems like his number may be the same moving forward around that $18 million mark, or do you think he's going to go up?
That's like roughly where I would probably have it. The more interesting thing with Nurkic is going to be, A, how many years is it going to be given his injury history? Do they want to go 4 or 5 years? I'm not sure if I would. And then also just how much of the back end of it is going to be guaranteed, because again, you're going to have, a guy who's missed as many years of, time, not just with the leg injury, but then this year he had the foot thing, which, shut him down at different points. They're going to have to negotiate all of that, but I would guess that he's back too. when, that's what all signs point to.
Before we let you go, Sean, at what point should Blazer fans start to get a little bit concerned? Should it be on draft night if they keep seven, or will it be a couple days into free agency, a week into free agency? When should Blazer fans start to panic or have that sigh of relief?
The marker that I always use for the off season actually starting, this is just kind of my own personal, like how I orient, you know, my own life covering this stuff and having this be the job. I consider the off season actually starting after summer league, which is the middle of July. And, okay, you know, it starts on the 7th. I'm going to be down there for the first few days of it. After summer league, because usually, you know, the draft is late June, free agency starts early July. Usually most of the big moves, there's exceptions. Like Kyrie Irving got traded to Boston from Cleveland in like late August. Like there was always exceptions. I think Dwight Howard got traded to the Lakers from Orlando back in the day in August. There's always exceptions, but usually the big moves and everything that's of note is going to happen within those first, maybe that first week of July. And then you have summer league where the entire NBA is down in Las Vegas, all the agents, all the executives, and some more deals get done there. And then everybody gets to watch everybody play at summer league. And then once that's over and everybody from all the teams gets back from Vegas, that's when everybody sort of goes on vacation and maybe reconvenes in September for training camp. So after summer league, you look at this roster, see what it looks like. Did they make upgrades? Did they do enough to surround Dame with talent? And if they did, then you can probably feel okay. And if not, then, you know, you start to ask whatever questions you're going to ask after that.
Coming up next on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends, we'll revisit some time from Danny Morang yesterday on a couple of potential Blazers targets heading into tonight's draft on John Collins and OG Anunoby. But first, me with SportsCenter.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Jeff Russ back with you here on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends. Coming up next, we're going to revisit some time from yesterday with Danny Morang of the Jacked Ramsey's podcast, getting ready for tonight's NBA draft. And Dusty and Danny talked about a couple of Blazers' potential targets in John Collins and OG Anunoby.
Let's talk about these. The seventh overall pick, there is steam behind, you know, Shaedon Sharpe. One of the top recruits in the country who might be a little bit of a project. Wait a little bit of time.
There's some stuff at play for sure.
But there's also the rumors. The OG Anunoby thing is heating up. The John Collins is
even more on that. Just a few minutes ago, Jay Fisher basically said that he has heard that the Hawks are going to deal John Collins, which means
that's Bleacher Report. Jake Fisher. He's quickly become like one of those super dialed in guys.
He's also someone who the Raptors fans out there hate egregiously because he has dared suggest that there may be disruption in the fair world of Toronto. Dun, dun, dun.
And I thought Canadians were nice.
Yeah, no, I think they're just mad because the Maple Leafs haven't won a cup since the 60s.
Probably.
I mean, realistically.
But where do we stand on like a guy like OG Anunoby, where there is starting to become more and more smoke? I mean, this what it kind of feels like is the Anunoby conversation is just a couple of weeks behind the John Collins one. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that you brought up the OG Anunoby one right around the same time as the John Collins one. And like the nationally, it's a couple weeks behind where Collins was.
Yeah, and so Brandon and I were talking about OG basically back in March because I had heard back then from a few sources that there was maybe some disruption in Toronto.
Yes.
And I know that Damon and OG are friends, that's a relationship that's there. I mean, that's for those that don't know, like these guys, they talk a lot.
Wait, what?
it's funny how often I get like, how would this happen? Like, what would force something that? Why would the general manager do something? I'm like, because players operate pretty independent of that stuff if they want to make a change. Like, if they want something done, unless there's somebody, a power broker much higher than them, it happens. And that's how these super teams get formed in the first place.
And I have a question though about this because a lot of it seems to point to OG. I don't want to say he doesn't like it. He's not as receptive to Scottie Barnes taking the load.
That's definitely right? what it feels like. And if you want to make a local comparison, you can go to young Damian, rookie Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge, where in Toronto, OG was kind of viewed as Kawhi 2.0 a year and a half, 2 years ago. Scotty comes in and, man, he has got the shine.
Well, because he can score at an elite level.
He can score, he can defend, he can play make, he can do a lot. He's a tremendous player. Yeah. It doesn't take away from OG at all, but you're talking about a bunch of guys with alpha just egos everywhere across the NBA. That's, and you should, because you don't get to this level without that.
No.
If you don't have that, I don't want you on a team that I cover, I'll be honest. But with that, sometimes, even if guys are best friends, like Damon and LaMarcus were close. And yet there was disruption because of perceived slights in how the organization handled things.
So here's my question then. If that's how OG Anunoby feels in Toronto with a rookie, will it be different if he wants that shine playing behind Damian Lillard? Well, he will be second fiddle here as well. Like, should that be a concern? Because that's the first thing that pops into my mind is, well, he doesn't like Scotty Barnes taking the shine. Wait till Damian Lillard.
I think it's less about who's taking or the shine being taken as opposed to who it's being taken by.
Okay.
Because he was billed as like the guy alongside Pascal.
Yeah.
And he was built up very high. And I think that's the same thing again in Portland, where LaMarcus had to deal with the Brandon stuff, then the Greg stuff. Then it was finally his team.
He was pillars of the franchise and then, two of them fell and he was the only one standing.
And then here comes Dame. And that's, you know, Neil had just drafted him, so he's the anointed one. Yeah. And that's the same. I think it's a very, very similar situation where I think OG, I don't think he has any vitriol for Scotty Barnes or even really the organization. There's just some uncomfortability.
It's not taking a backseat. It's who you're taking it to and how it happened.
And if he came to Portland, the pecking order of Damian Lillard, you can abide by that.
Let's do this. I want to do this here. If you were to put a percentage on it, are we more likely to have OG and Anunoby trade or John Collins trade happen for the Portland Trailblazers?
In general, it's John Collins being traded.
Yes. That's a damn near certainty.
Yes. And here's the thing with it pertains to OG. I think there's a significantly smaller chance of OG being traded than John Collins by leaps and bounds. But if OG is traded, I've called it a coin toss. And I think it'll be between Portland or Utah, which direction they go, because there's been talks about Gobert to Toronto, and there's just no way you can make the money work without OG Anunoby being in the deal.
Yeah,
it's not physically possible.
What about a third team being involved in that too?
Sure, even if you did, like I would imagine if the Utah Jazz are moving off Gobert, which it very much looks like they're trying to do, they're going to want to get impact wing defenders to build around Donovan Mitchell. That's what they're looking. I mean, very much the same as the Portland Trailblazers.
After watching them in the playoffs, I can see why.
Yeah. So I look at a couple organizations that have the capital where maybe it would make sense for him to go to that. Again, the thing we always have to consider here is clutch. You have to consider the clutch factor. OG Anunoby is a clutch representative. Yusuf Nurkic is a clutch representative.
They are the most powerful team in the NBA right now.
They are. They are the most powerful organization. In the NBA, certainly on the media side, CAA. I mean, they basically control ESPN at this point in time. They have some very large NBA clients as well. But their influence, as powerful as it is, it lies more on the executive side.
So, okay. If Utah wants to get OG, then they also have a Bogdanovich that they paid a butt ton of money to last offseason, wasn't it? Maybe two?
2 years ago, I think.
It's COVID. It all blends together.
Yeah, no, the COVID years blend together. I've never been worse at like breaking out which seasons are which anymore.
Yeah, so that there's another layer to all of that where, you know, you have a lot of money tied up to that small forward position already in Utah.
I think the only sacred cow in Utah is Donovan Mitchell at this point in time.
Yeah.
Very much the same in Portland, where I think you could say Damian Lillard for sure, and then Anthony Simons is a close second at this point. But I'll throw this back at you, though. If you're Portland right now and you've got the opportunity to either get OG Anunoby or John Collins, which way are you going?
See, and we've had this conversation yesterday, actually, and I said if I'm looking at where the biggest fault is with this team, in my eyes right now, it's at the power forward position. and it's where you need the biggest upgrade right now, because you can play Josh Hart at the three and Nasir Little at the three, and you're feeling a hell of a lot more comfortable there, as opposed to
the giant gaping hole at the four.
Massive. Massive.
And that's
hole.
Not a shot at like guys like Trenton Watford and Greg Brown.
Absolutely
like,
not.
I think those guys have potential to be rotational NBA players, but
not starters on a playoff team.
There has been a LaMarcus Aldridge shaped hole since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done In the Olshay era, they did the worst job possible.
Stop with that. Remember the Al-Farouq Aminu? Our metrics say Al-Farouq Aminu at the four is a 52-win team.
Zach Collins was a combination of Rasheed Wallace, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the kind of stuff that we were sold for the last 7 years.
But if you are telling me, though, you have John Collins and backing him up is Justice Winslow, I feel a hell of a lot more comfortable at the four position
than you have in 7 years.
100%. 100%, because right now the Blazers would be looking at, like, in all honesty, starting Justice Winslow with an injury history. And I think he's a great locker room guy.
And he's like 6'5" and a half, 6'6".
I like that they brought him in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he is. But let's be honest here. You need to upgrade that position way more than anywhere else on the roster.
My only pushback to this, and I think each answer has its own, like, you can justify either one. Legitimately, yeah. I very much believe you can. My only pushback is the criticism of the past era was not just the three and the four position, but the ability to impact games defensively.
Yes.
Collins earned a poor defensive reputation in his first 2 years. He is significantly better. He is above a passable defender. He's approaching good. He's good enough, but he's approaching good. OG Anunoby is elite. OG Anunoby in a healthy season, in a year where he's allowed to be a wrecking ball, to be the guy, is very much capable of being a first team all defense caliber player. Chauncey Billups talked
like
about
that.
How there's maybe 5 to 7 guys in the NBA who are true stoppers. I would say that he's one of those guys on that list. And it is a short list, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you've got Kawhi Leonard, you've got OG Anunoby. You maybe in a year or two can throw Herb Jones on there because we saw what he did and how good he looked this year. But Drew Holiday at the point guard position, and no, Marcus Smart is not on that list. The fact that he's one defensive player of the year just irks me.
He's
so
the
much.
Best defender on his team.
No, he's not. He's probably the third best defender on his team, which is really frustrating. But the Blazers, and this is the profile that I had on Anunoby coming out, was that he's a wrecking ball that can blow up offenses, and that is very much true to this day.
I like that. That's a great way to put it, and that's what I would love either one of them at this point.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, if the Blazers get either one of those guys without giving up the house, it is a very successful draft night offseason period before going into free agency. That either one of those guys is home run.
All right, we are way behind. Jeff Russ here with you on this best of edition of Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan. We will be right back after this.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, bumping in with the close music. I am that far behind on today's best of edition of Dusty and Friends. We're going to close it out here. We'll see you tomorrow again for another episode. Coming up next, primetime with Big Sook and me as we get you ready for the NBA draft. Talk to you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.